Hi, welcome to the DeviantArt Podcast. My name is Matt Buchholz, and I'm going to be your host today. Today, we are joined by Ali White.
Hi, hello. Ali. Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
So, just a little disclaimer. Ali and I have known each other for a few months now, so this is going to be real comfy.
But it feels like a lifetime.
Feels like a lifetime. So, you can find Ali on DeviantArt. Ali, what's your DeviantArt username?
Skirts. But instead of an S, there's three Zs.
Okay. So you can find Ali at DeviantArt/skirts.
Yes.
Where you make amazing and beautiful art.
I guess.
You do, Ali. Ali makes beautiful art.
Thanks, so, buddy.
Ali, before we get into all the fun, I want to hear a little bit about your history with DeviantArt. When did you start on DeviantArt?
It was the year 2005. I was a small weeb in North Idaho. With dial-up internet, because that's all we had.
What intrigued you about DeviantArt?
Well, you know, you could post, like, a lot of art. I think the only other site I had found, like, this was before, like, social media wasn't really, like, the thing. And there wasn't anywhere to put your art. It just, we weren't there yet.
Right,
and
yeah.
And, like, there was, like, one site I was using, but there was, like, you could upload, like, two things. And, like, no one went on that site. It was, like, a .org. No one knew about it. And then I don't even know how I found DeviantArt, but I did. Thank God. And I just started filling it up. And, yeah, I don't know. Every day after high school, I'd come home, and I always had new things to post because I didn't pay attention in school. I just drew. So I always had something to put.
Well, one of the reasons I think that you and I like connected so well is we're both from the Northwest, both from very small towns.
Yep.
And so having a creative outlet was kind of something very special.
Yeah.
And I imagine a lot of our listeners also might find themselves in similar situations where they might not have that artistic community. So what sort of advice could you offer people who are listening or watching on YouTube who may feel, you know, like a little bit more isolated with their art?
Well, I mean, especially now, I feel like with the internet and social media, like, you have the world at your fingertips now. It's you can do this from anywhere, and there's, like, so many, like, resources now, too. It's just the world's kind of your burrito with art. Like, like, nothing's impossible.
That's a T-shirt. The world is your burrito with art.
Print it. I guess for small town folks, like, I don't know. It's hard because it depends on, like, kind of your environment, like, the kind of people that are around you. Because I was constantly discouraged as an artist because it wasn't, like, the norm back home. And, really, like, the internet was my reprieve. And it was, like, the one place I had that I could delve into that and find support, because it's hard. Like, you're kind of sequestered off away from, like, more artistic communities, and it feels kind of hopeless, and that, like, you're, like, that one person. Like, I don't know. It's hard being in a small town and being into art, and so, I don't know.
Well, it's tough when you're not a farmer, and you're...
Yeah, it was, like, the decision for most people in North Idaho was, like, do you like horses or nursing? And I'm like, neither?
Yeah, I mean, you could have been, like, an amazing, like, equestrian doctor, but...
It was a hard decision.
Well, I love those. You took this leap, and you're in Los Angeles now.
Yeah.
And you're doing your art. Like,
happened.
You are, like, killing it.
It's still... hasn't really sunk in, but it was just kind of always a thing I wanted to do, and I felt like I would regret it if I didn't just, like, make that move. And wow, yeah, it's like now I'm surrounded by people who, like, live that very similar, fast-paced, always working kind of life. Everyone does something kind of in the creative field, and it's the perfect environment, and it's like I feel normal here, which is really nice. I don't have to explain to anybody what I do for work. Like, I say, like, yeah, I'm a freelance artist, and they go, oh, okay. But, like, back home, they'd be like, I don't understand. Like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm an illustrator.
You, you do draw art for free?
Yeah, they're like, you just draw cartoons all day? How does that work?
I like this voice that you affected for people back home.
Well, it was usually like a confused barista.
Which there are numerous of in northern Idaho.
Yeah, that's the other career choice. If you live in North Idaho, you can also be a barista on a roadside coffee house.
Oh, they have a ton of those.
The drive-thrus.
They don't have them here in Los Angeles.
It's not a thing here. It's so like, weird.
Like Dutch Brothers or like...
Dude, like we had so many like
windmill coffee. Yeah.
Small little shacks with a drive-thru window. We had like Jabba the Hutt.
Yes, and, like, they had good puns.
they were always puns. But we like every... Every couple miles, you'd see one. I don't know what, is it just a Pacific Northwest thing?
Because
I know. The Seattle area, well, the quieter areas have them as well. But then I went to the East Coast and no one knew what I was talking about. And I was like.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more, going back from coffee, to your art. Okay. So how would you describe your art style?
It's definitely an amalgam of like anime and Disney, because it's like I grew up on Disney, but then like I went through this like extreme weeaboo stage in like the early 2000s, so I was like just drawing anime, and then I kind of like slowly went back to kind of the Western styles, and so yeah, it's just a mix of those things.
Yeah, and it's you draw like a bunch of like really great emotive sort of just beautiful artwork.
Aww,
like it's so fun. Yeah, I enjoy it. Aww. And the way that you do like hair and clothing is so dynamic. Like you just have a really great eye for making things look like they're flowing. It's it's easy to make things look super flat, and you never have that in your work. Yours always has like this dimensionality to it.
I want a sense of movement.
That's important. So how do you go about achieving that?
Well, yeah, like billowing hair is a good way of making that a thing.
I like how you say it so simply. I feel like this is where you see that like Allie's like a master artist of just being like, well, to make a piece good, you start with something very difficult. you do like the hard thing. And you say it like it's like the base level intro.
I mean, billowing hair isn't like extreme.
But creating billowing hair is not an easy
task. All right, fair enough. Fine. I guess it's...
So you find ways to make it dynamic.
Yeah, like, it just comes with practice. You know, when you're drawing, like, the preliminary sketch and you have, like, the figure of a body, usually what I learned in college was it's, like, what is it? The line of action or some term. But it's, like, you kind of do, like, you draw a nice little line with a little bit of movement, add the hips, add the rib cage, and tilt them in various ways to try to get like...
Yeah, you gotta get that balance as I knock the mic around. I'm sorry, audio.
How dare you? But yeah, it's a good way of getting something down that's not stiff. My favorite thing about working in Photoshop too is it's like you can do that pelvis and rib cage shape and then tilt them at your will until you get something that feels just right. Especially if something is like looking too stiff, you can kind of go back in and add more angles and whatnot. Cause yeah, it is easy to like just get used to drawing the same stiff pose all the time. And it just takes practice to be like, maybe if I like tilt this way and like draw, like, if you want a character to appear in motion, like, yeah, the hair blowing one way and, like, the fabric kind of following through. Little things like that.
But that's important. Some people don't consider those things.
Yeah. Well, it's just part of the journey, man.
Part of the journey. So I want to hear, we've alluded to kind of different parts of your artistic journey, but take me from small town Idaho to Los Angeles.
Well, yeah. So I was always the art kid since the beginning of time. And it was just like always the thing I did. I was never not drawing. I was that was just my bread and butter all the time. And then, you know, it took years to finally be like, I could never conceptualize doing art as a career. I was always just doing it for fun. And then the older I got, the more you're kind of faced with like this, like, so what are you going to do? I'm like, I never thought about it. I almost went into journalism for college, which is weird. I like writing, I guess. I was like, this is a thing I could probably do.
Yeah.
Because like I was always discouraged by everyone in school. Like my counselor told me that I was going to flip burgers the rest of my life when I told him I wanted to be an artist. And I was like, I don't really want to go to the community college here. I kind of want to go to like Seattle. And he's like, have fun at McDonald's. And I'm like, you're a counselor, sir.
Sounds like you had the worst high school counselor that you could have had.
Dude, everyone sucked there. Like they were all like the teachers were like coaches first, teachers second. And they all knew I wasn't on any teams.
And football, so horses.
Like, yeah. They're like, I wasn't out there throwing the old pigskin around. So I just...
Which, like, for those of you, I know this is an audio podcast, so you probably have already put together a very great mental picture of Allie, approximately like 500 pounds, very square of the shoulders. Like, so hearing she
I'm
didn't
a
play,
tank.
Yeah, hearing she didn't play football, probably stunning.
Yeah, I know.
But what sort of drive did you have then to continue you through that? Because it sounds like you had a lot of forces kind of pushing against you having a creative career.
I'm really stubborn and I'm inspired by pure spite. I like if I feel like I just want to prove people wrong, like that like really gets like the motor going. I'm just like, screw you, man. Like I can do what I want. Like I'm kind of glad they were like that because I probably would have been like, oh, I'm comfortable here. Everyone's nice to me. Everything's fine. I'll just settle down and never like search for more. Instead, everyone made me very angry and I was like, I'll show you. And I just picked up and moved to Seattle for school because I was interested in video games. So I was like, I'll go do the art program over there because I really wanted to get away from everyone that I was stuck in school with for like the last 12 years of my life and all these people that like didn't understand or care what I was like trying to do. So I figured like a whole new environment and like a school focused on that would be good. And for a while it was good, but then it's like, it's weird that I even faced opposition in art school. My professors were like really hard on me and they like used negative reinforcement constantly. The problem with that is like everything in balance, but they didn't use any like, hey, so like, here's what you're doing good, but here's what you could work on. Like, don't be discouraged, but just, you know, here's... Instead, they're just like, you're like... They just made me feel like I was like the worst artist in school all the time. And so then like, I got really like down on myself and I was like, maybe I'm not supposed to be an artist. Maybe everyone in Idaho was right. Like, this is stupid. Like, so I like got really depressed and I quit. And then after they were like, I can't believe you just quit school like that. Like you were like the best student in I won't say the name of the school.
Okay.
But yeah, I was like, why didn't you just tell me? Like, it's not like I was going to get a big head if you said like, hey, like you're good, but like, here's what we'd like to see you like work on. Like if I just would have had any positive reinforcement at all, I probably could have hung in there and been like, no, I know I'm good at this. I'm going to keep going. But they just beat the love of art out of me. And I think I quit drawing for about a year and a half, which is a lot of time lost for an artist, I think. Mm-hmm. And recovery took forever, like getting my bearings back and being like, no, I do want to do art. And then spite kicked in and I was like, you know what? Like, I don't need that college degree to do the thing that I love. So I came home and I just got to work. And only recently did I decide to like just make that big move and come to LA. Because like when you're on social media, like you kind of find your tribe. And I found a really great art community and everyone for the most part was here. And I felt I was having like FOMO, you know, I was like, I'm I just had like turned 30 and it's like, dude, the clock's ticking. Like, if you don't go and have this experience, like, when are you going to do it? So just do it. Do it while you know a bunch of people there and just see what happens. And thank God I did.
Well, it's been spectacular getting to know you now that you're down here. Like, we went to Comic-Con with you this year. Yes. You got to experience that, which was insanity.
The best week of my life.
Yeah, tons of fun with lots of great artists. And then we've gotten you into the office a couple times now, so it's been fun having you in LA.
I know, it's still really surreal, and it still is awesome that it's like DeviantArt has been personified as this group of lovely folks.
Yeah, look at all these lovely folks.
Look at them.
So many lovely folks. Hey. You guys at home are really missing out by being on that side of the camera. There are a bunch of lovely folks.
Yeah. Gang's all here. But yeah, so that's been pretty wild. Like, I think the San Diego thing that we did was one of the first things I did when I moved here. So it was like I had just unpacked and it was like, and away.
Yeah, I think we wrangled you from a U-Haul into a van.
I did an interview while I was on the road with all my furniture. I like pulled the U-Haul over and like did this interview. And it was just like this back to back. Like, I just moved in and now like then the caravan got me and then off to San Diego we went. And I was just like, this is happening.
Yeah.
Okay. It was so, like, it's wild. Like, it's still, that whole weekend was, like, I think about it a lot, and I'm like, that was, like, for how short of a time we really had, it was, like, it felt like we all spent, like, a year together or something. I don't know what it was. It's just, like, this magical thing that happened.
Yeah, and people can still see a lot of the stuff that happened that week on DeviantArt. Like, yeah. We'll put a link in the comments or in the description below for you guys to click to and yes. Get to see some of the stuff that you guys did at Comic-Con.
Yeah, I also have a journal about the trip and a lot of photos on my DeviantArt. It was an awesome time. Like, definitely a good way to kick off the new LA life with a bunch of cool artists and DeviantArt and just...
Which is how art should be. It should be something celebrated and exciting and fun. Yeah, I know. And like, art is, I mean, it's creativity just exploding forth onto paper or sculptures or written word.
Yeah, and it's even better when it's like you're experiencing it with other people that are passionate about the same thing. And they're all looking for that thing that you've been looking for. Like, it's the right mix. I have not had enough of it, that's for sure. So,
and one of the things that we talked about a lot, especially with that group at Comic-Con, was the idea of imposter syndrome. Oh, because we had so many like stellar artists like Allie who go there and the first thing we hear is like, why me?
Yeah.
We're like, why am I here? Woe is me as an artist.
I'm like, you made a mistake. Did you mean to email me?
Yeah, I believe that was the looking at Matt, our artist relations person. That was like the real email we got from Allie, right? It was like wrong email, right? Like, yeah.
Sorry, you're looking for someone much better.
But it's so not true because artists, I feel a lot of them probably have that same experience you did where like your time growing up and the very formative time of like when you're creating, people are asking things like, but how are you going to make money? But what's your real job? When are you going to become the horse doctor? Like they want to know those things. And it kind of puts this like, and even your time in art school, it sounds like you had just more and more negative reinforcement where it makes you feel like you're not doing enough for art or that your art isn't worthy.
Yeah.
So I want to talk on that a little bit because like your art is spectacular, which we've hopefully like shaken into you at this point. Like
you've tried and I appreciate the effort.
But talk to us a little bit about your experience with like imposter syndrome and like how you feel that people can hopefully get a little bit more objective about what they do.
Yeah, I'm still learning to kind of wrangle it myself. It's so complicated because, I don't know, I guess I always just feel like I'm just that girl from North Idaho who just drew for fun in school. I just don't see how I could amount to much else, I guess. Like, I don't know. It was funny though, because like when I was in high school, I constantly daydreamed about all these amazing things that I could become and all of these things I could do. And I had big aspirations and dreams, and I would just like picture myself in all these crazy situations. And it's like, I've arrived and these things have happened to me, and it's surreal, I guess. Like, and then I'm left with this feeling of like, well, it's like I wanted that, but like, I don't feel like I deserve it. So it's really bittersweet for me, because like, I always feel like, well, someone else, there's so many other like better artists or better people out there who probably like deserve it. And I don't know what it is. Like, moving to LA has really like ramped it up a little bit. And I try to just like push it to the back of my mind. Like, don't overthink it. Just be glad and be grateful and just enjoy stuff. But I still like, sometimes I feel like I'm like playing a video game or something, where it's like, I kind of have a disconnect from Ali White, you know? It's like, I guess this is happening. All these nice opportunities that come my way, and I'm like, I don't know why it's happening, but I don't want to sabotage myself, so I'll do it. I wish I could kind of slow down and like go like, yeah, no, you earned this, and like, it's fine. But I have a hard time with that.
So what are some specific examples of like some victories that you've had when you talk about like, you know, you've made these achievements and had some great things happen?
Well, I mean, you guys got a hold of me. That was one. That was a weird day. Got this email like, hey, it's DeviantArt. What's up? Like, we want to hang out with you.
Which is how professional our emails are.
Yo, what's going on? And that was kind of my first taste of like, I guess I'm like someone that people want to know more about. And like, I guess my art has like made the rounds enough to be like, yeah, it's Skirts. She's cool. Like, I don't know. I think another thing that happened since I moved here is the company Way Forward has contacted me for some projects. And like, that's been really crazy, because I don't know. That's like my first time with something like that. And I'm just like, out of all the people, like, you picked me?
Yeah, and they're like a very well-known gaming
company. Yeah, they're legit. Yeah. So I was like, oh, and they're all awesome. Like, they want to work with me more. And it's just like me trying to wrap my brain around this. Like, it's like I'm over the moon about it, but then I'm always like waiting to like wake up in my bed. Like, it was all a dream. I don't know.
Well, those are both great things. So when you're trying to like rationalize or like find ways to stay objective about your like talent and your art and like your worth, like, what are some steps that you take to do that, or that people who are finding doubt in their work, like, what could they do to help kind of balance themselves there?
For me, I find like you need to keep a timeline, like a visual timeline of like the journey thus far. Like, I keep everything I've ever drawn. I keep journals about like where I'm at each year of my life, you know, kind of like I try to, because it's easy to forget, and the older you get, the faster time goes, and it all becomes a blur. And sometimes you forget certain landmarks, and it's like, you shouldn't. So if I start feeling like, why me kind of thing, or I'm not that good, I don't get it, like, I'll stop and I'll look at what I was doing even, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, and it's like, wow, like, that's a huge difference. Here's all the stuff that's taken place since then, and, like, I know that I've worked really hard. Like, I may be hard on myself, but I know that I've worked really hard. So, like, I just look at how much time I've spent working on this craft and putting myself out there, and I guess it does start to make sense to me that, like, yeah, like, it does make sense why this is happening to me. Like, I always tell myself, like, oh, my whole career is just a fluke and it's all luck. And then I'm like, well, no, I mean, you've been posting like every day since 2005. I think it's a little more than just luck. You know, like, you have to put in some effort and then, you know, sow some seeds and then eventually they grow. You just got to keep watering them, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like I woke up with all this stuff. I mean, but that's how it feels sometimes. So that's why I have to look back and be like, well, what did you do to this point? Like, it's got to make sense somewhere. Like, it didn't just happen out of nothing.
Yeah, so kind of like keeping track of the data.
Yeah, you need to keep some kind of timelines so you can remind yourself, like, I've been through a lot.
I think one of the things that you hit that's, like, so easy to do is looking at that spread of time and saying, like, 5 years ago I drew this, and you see, like, the draw it again sort of stuff that people do.
Yeah, I love doing those.
Yeah, and even if it's not the same piece, just looking at the growth over that time.
Yeah.
Because, well, like, my drawing from day one to day two might not show an improvement, but from day one to day 1,000 is going to be completely different.
Especially if you keep at it. Like, if you're drawing, like, every day, every other day, like, you're going to improve. And if you don't compare your old work to your new work, you're never going to see your own growth. And then it's easy to get discouraged. And I feel like, and it's also interesting to, like, when you look back at an old piece, you have to, like, remember where you were then, like, what was in your mind, like, the things you were aspiring to. And I noticed, like, a lot of the things that I really wanted to happen have happened for me. And I always try to think, like, even if I'm struggling with, like, oh, like, this is weird. Like, I can't believe this is happening to me. Like, I have to remember to be happy for me 5 years ago. Like, that girl would have been freaking out. Like, enjoy this for her then. Because, like, if you're, like, you can't, it's easier said than done. Like, you need to be proud of yourself and be like, I deserve this. So, yeah, it's good to think about, like, the old yous, because, like, you're still in there. You still wanted those things, and you still worked for them, and it's hard.
And now you get them, and you should party. You should be so happy. Like,
I know. Sometimes I'm like, should I talk about it? Like, do people care? I don't know. It's weird. Like,
That being said, like, over the course of the time that I've known you, there have been a couple of times where, you know, you've gotten to say, like, a little bit more about, like, you know, how you feel about your art. And the support for you is insane. Like, people, like, really genuinely care and, like, love your work and, like, the work that you put into it. Like, it's so, like, huge.
It's weird, man.
It's not weird when you look at all the stuff that you just told us to look at, because, like, no, you've done that time.
I've been very active in, like, kind of the art communities that I have placed myself in, and, like, yeah, I see that. But sometimes, and I've always tried to be very human, you know, I don't want to be a manufactured robot. I don't want to hide too much of myself. Sometimes it seems easier to do that, but then, you know, I've noticed that, like, being just also the human that does stuff, like, people have been, like, really nice to me. Like, really, really nice to me all the time. And it's still kind of, it's like, you're taking energy and emotion and you're sending it my way. And that's crazy. But it's really endearing too, because it's like, oh, that's for me. From another living being.
Yeah.
Like, it never gets old. It's still shocking to me. I think if you would have, like, shown me my inbox for DeviantArt now, if you would have taken it and shown it to me in 2005 when I started, and I used to have a party over one comment and one fave, I would just keel over. I would just die. Like, are you kidding me? It's crazy. What do you think about, like, how the span of time, and now I have all these awesome people, like my little cheerleaders in the comment section, and I'm like, I love these people. They're amazing. But why are they here? What are you doing?
Yeah, so what I'd like to do is let's take that positive energy and that idea of celebrating someone. And I want to know three people that you follow on DeviantArt that you think are just awesome.
Okay, so these are all lovely friends of mine that are constantly an inspiration, and I've been following them forever. But so there's Brianna Garcia, who does a lot of Disney stuff. She's amazing. And Suai, and David LaJoya. Those are, like, three.
That's a great three.
Amazing artists who, it's like, every time they post something new, it's like, oh, really, you guys?
Where can people find you on DeviantArt?
So you can just find me at Skirts with three Z's. Don't forget the Z's.
Otherwise, it's just Skirt.
But yeah, I'm always on there. Come talk to me.
And again, I'm GG Matt B on DeviantArt. And thank you so much for joining us, guys. Thank you. Have a good one.
Later.
Bye.